It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, it is December 14th, 2020, and that means it's time for News to Me. Or anyway, should be. I've had an exciting weekend. I had to relocate my computer, and, I have a walk-in closet that I basically stuck the computer in on one end, but apparently a pipe or something burst behind there, so I had to move it to the other side of the closet, remove everything from the closet. It was just a big to-do. It was quite a big ordeal. So I think my computer is mostly set up, but please forgive any bumbles and jumbles as I kind of struggle through it. And if the plumber or somebody comes to the door during the show, since we're live, you may just end up with some dead air. So I'm sorry about that. I'll try and give you the heads up if it does. All right. Well, we start where we always start.
World news.
Right. Oh, and you know what? I almost forgot. I need to launch Calm. Calm is how you chat with anybody who's doing... Well, almost anyone. All the cool kids who are doing stuff on non-radio, all you do is SSH over to tty.sdf.org, or you can just set up a cool alias in your browser, or your terminal, I guess I should say. I just go ahead here, and you just type com, C-O-M, hit enter, you'll be brought into the program. You press G for go to, and type a non-radio. When you hit enter, boom. You're in the Anon Radio Room. You'll get to see all the cool people, like Jazzmaz and Hardmouse, as well as all of the other cool and regular people who like to talk, like Ratsu and X1 and Exiled. Even Zeptar and Toab look like they're in here. So, heck yeah, it's a good time. It's a good day. So, like I said, let's begin.
World News.
This comes to us from Nigeria. Usama Aminu was one of the lucky ones. He managed to escape when gunmen abducted more than 300 pupils from a school in northwestern Nigeria. When I decided to run, they brought a knife to slaughter me, but I ran away quickly, he said, sitting on a mat and speaking softly, as how he described he had been in bed at the all-boys school in Kankara when he heard gunshots on Friday night. At first, he said, the boys thought the commotion was from soldiers trying to protect them, but the attackers, armed with AK-47s, were already inside the building, threatening groups who tried to leave their dormitories at the Government Science Secondary School in an attack that has outraged Nigerians. They said they would kill whoever is trying to escape, then I began to run, climbing one rock to another through a forest. Police said on Friday they exchanged fire with the attackers, allowing some students to run for safety. According to Katsina, Governor Amina Bello Masari, on Sunday, 333 students remained missing. Golly, that's a huge thing. We're making progress and the outlook is positive, Masari told reporters on Monday, after meeting President Muhammadu Buhari, who was on a week-long visit to his home state. The governor said the president was fully committed to the rescue of the school children after he'd been criticized in Nigerian newspapers for not visiting the school. It's not clear who the gunmen were, and officials do not yet know the motive of the attack. So, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild story. Of course, today in the U.S., the Electoral College is voting, so I think, and the Pfizer vaccine is being rolled out. So I think those are going to overshadow stories like this, which is why I do this show, to kind of talk about the stories that kind of disappeared or don't get talked about enough. So anyway, that's from Reuters. Let's keep on moving. We got lots of news to talk about, like in India. Oh, welcome, Froggy Me. And hello, X1. Thanks for chiming in. All right. So let's talk about India for a minute. They're in the news in a couple of stories, so we'll talk about one and take a break and come back. But Muslims targeted under India's state's love jihad law. This is very curious thing here. Police in India have rounded up Muslim men and disrupted interfaith marriage ceremonies under new laws prohibiting so-called love jihad in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh, which is where they deny COVID-19, among other things. Police have begun cracking down on marriages between Muslims and Hindus and have arrested at least 10 Muslim men under a law that prohibits forced religious conversions. Love Jihad is a Hindu right-wing conspiracy theory claiming that Muslim men lure Hindu women into marriage in order to force their conversion to Islam. Hey, Harry Larry, thanks for chiming in. It's true. calm is fun. Though the central government admitted in February it had no official records of any incident of the practice, the theory has gained so much traction in India under the right-wing ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP, that it has been used to justify legislation enacted in Uttar Pradesh. It's now proposed in four other BJP-controlled Indian states. So, that's a pretty interesting way to... It's a very strange law. It's like there is a conspiracy theory. Enough people believed it. They went ahead and made a law outlawing it, and now are arresting people for doing. It's just wild. Church and state, man. What a weird time. Anyway, there's several cases of this happening. This week, a marriage between two Muslims was stopped by police in Kushingar, Uttar Pradesh, after a tip-off by a Hindu right-wing group. The police stormed the ceremony and arrested Haider Ali, 39, who was kept in custody overnight, and alleged that the police tortured him for hours using a leather belt. It was only after the family produced evidence that his bride was Muslim by birth they released Ali. The Uttar Pradesh crackdown has fueled fears that the Love Jihad law is being used to target Muslims and outlaw consensual interfaith marriage. No Hindus have been arrested under the new law. So, very, very interesting, interesting in a neutral sense. It's very scary kind of stuff to be have this kind of passing. Because India is like the world's largest democracy as far as number of individual citizens. And so it's wild whenever the system produces these kind of oppressive laws. But anyway, very interesting. And that comes to us from The Guardian. So let's talk to Al Jazeera for a second, because Iran's in the news too. Or as well. President Hassan Rouhani said Iran will not accept any preconditions in returning to the nuclear deal it signed with world powers and will not negotiate its missile program or regional activities. The U.S. and European powers have said in recent weeks they remain committed to revitalizing the nuclear deal, formerly known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which outgoing U.S. President Donald Trump unilaterally abandoned in 2018. However, they said they expect Iran to negotiate on its contentious missile program and its support of proxies in the region, which the U.S. and Europe maintain as destabilizing the Middle East. In his first news conference in Tehran since February, when the first COVID-19 cases were identified, the president defied calls by the incoming Biden administration and the U.S. and European powers. So, very interesting. I just said that, but it's pretty exciting. I think that Iran kind of has a point. They agreed to a deal. And everyone else walked away from it, and so they're willing to pick up where their deal was. So anyway, I think it seems fair that the U.S. would just pick up its end of the deal too. But I mean, when's the U.S. fair to Iran, right? Anyway, that's happening, so just be aware. All right, Reuters, we've got some news about France from Reuters. What, it's not France 24? Oh, let's see what we got. Sunvox. Oh. Yeah, the only U.S. walked away. Well, let's just check. Here we go. Get focused, Marcus. You're all over the place. You are all over the place.
World
Get
news.
The news over with. I want to hear the music.
I know, right? My head is everywhere. But it's all right. We're going to make it happen. All right. France has ordered a dozen public and private bodies to keep their deposits at the Treasury, government documents show, as it quietly builds up safeguards to reinforce its cash flow during the pandemic and ahead of Brexit. In a France ministry document dated December 2nd, a government edict or ordinance shows that the public bodies included the National Unemployment Agency and the Bank Deposit Guarantee Fund. In the context of a sharp increase in debt resulting from public intervention in the face of the health crisis, this ordinance aims to extend the obligation to keep deposits at the Treasury to certain bodies that were exempted until now. The previously unreported move potentially puts billions of euros at the government's disposal without having to tap debt markets to meet its day-to-day financial commitments. It comes amid record French borrowing to keep the Eurozone's second biggest economy afloat during the pandemic. The finance ministry did not have an immediate comment about why the step was being taken now. The ordinance does not require immediate compliance, but is a legally binding mechanism. France has had no trouble selling debt on financial markets during the coronavirus crisis since the European Central Bank stepped up its bond buying in March. French bond yields are currently at record lows and only 20 basis points over those of Germany. So then there's a graph showing the French 10-year bond market versus the German market. So it's very interesting approach. I like the word interesting today. Sorry. But this is kind of cool. It's like, hey, you know what? Everyone, put your money in this bank because we're going to use this money now to do stuff, but we're not going to raise debt. So anyway, I always think financial policy, monetary policy is very interesting stuff. There's just so much that you can do. And as a state, there's so much power you can exert over people by messing with their money. So, or I guess it's your money that they're holding on to. Anyway, sorry, I'm having a little bit of Marcus time here. So let's talk about India some more. Our friends at the World Socialist website, they have a strong take on it, as you'd expect. Working class anger is exploding in the southern Indian state of Karnataka, even as hundreds of thousands of farmers from North India camped on the outskirts of the national capital, threatening to intensify their agitation against the central government's pro-agribusiness reform laws. Both are resisting the attempts of India's capitalist ruling elite, spearheaded by Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his far-right Hindu supremacist Bharatiya Janata Party, BJP. And you know what? I think that's probably an apt way to describe it. Maybe I'm being a bit too biased, but Hindu supremacist seems about right, because they have been really nasty to other people that aren't Hindus. So to exploit the socioeconomic catastrophe triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic to intensify the exploitation of India's workers and toilers. In the name of reviving the economy, which contracted by more than 15% in a half year from April to September, Modi's government has accelerated its privatization drive, and pushed through farm and labor law reforms long demanded by big business. It's rewritten the labor code to criminalize most worker job actions and promote labor market flexibility. Employers now have even more latitude to use contract workers and hire and fire workers at will. Early Saturday morning, workers at Wistron-owned cell phone and IT manufacturing facility in Narasapura, Karnataka, vandalized. I'll put that in com because I really messed up that one. Vandalized management offices and overturned the cars of senior executives after the Taiwan-based transnational refused to pay them back wages of 3 months or more. The violence erupted at the conclusion of a protest involving 2,000 workers who had just come off the night shift. The workers attempted to reason with Winston managers, but became enraged when they arrogantly dismissed their complaints. At the company's behest, police have arrested at least 132 workers. Workers at the facility are subject to a brutal work regime while producing goods such as iPhones and biotech equipment for some of the world's largest and most profitable companies, including Apple, Microsoft, and Lexar. So, very distressing stuff as India kind of uses COVID-19 to bring its worker exploitation up to the standards the rest of the exploitation processing teams want you to be at. So, And I want to give a shout out. Harry Larry mentioned Modern Monetary Theory, MMT. You can Google search it if you're interested. It is an interesting, there's a lot of work on it, and it's pretty interesting. So, of course, we just talked about a strike and worker suppression in south of India, but we can't forget about the farmers. Tens of thousands of protesting Indian farmers have called for a national farmer strike on Monday, today, the second in a week, to press for the quashing of three new laws on agricultural reform they say will drive down crop prices and devastate their earnings. If you'd like to see a video kind of interview or someone talking about it, you can find one on France 24. It is about 2 minutes long if you actually want to see the people speaking and see it, because it's kind of cool sometimes. All right, so jumping over here. Hey, Exiled! All right, check it out. Let's talk about Germany for a minute. Germany's Federal Office of Economics and Export Control, BAFA, said on Monday that the head of the agency that regulates auditors in Germany had been relieved of his duties over personal dealings in Wirecard shares weeks before its collapse. So BAFA, in case that was a bit too long, Germany's Federal Office of Economics and Export Control, BAFA, said Monday, that the head of the agency that regulates auditors in Germany had been relieved of his duties over personal dealings in Wirecard shares weeks before its collapse. BAFA said the departure of Ralph Bose was intended to ensure the integrity of the regulator, APAS, until the facts of the case had been clarified. There is no evidence that Bose broke any rules in trading shares of the payment processor while the federal agency was investigating the role of Wirecard auditor Ernst & Young. Bose told a parliamentary committee last week that he had dealt in Wirecard shares shortly before its collapse, buying them on April 28th and selling them on May 20th. Reuters was not immediately able to contact Bose. EY audited Wirecard's account for years until the company imploded following the discovery of a 1.9 billion euro hole in its accounts. Wirecard case has become an embarrassment for German officials and authorities, been accused of failing to sufficiently monitor the company, which was once worth $28 billion and was widely praised as a rare German tech champion. So we'll see how that goes. Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy. Very interesting. Of course, it's long past time.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We got to play some music. But there's so much news. There's so much music. What are we going to do? I don't know. You know what we're going to do? We're going to ride it out. This is called Stormy Weather. It's by a little guy you might have heard of called Willie Nelson. At least I hope it is. Sometimes my music gets mislabeled. Wow.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather. Now since my gal and I ain't together, keeps raining all the time. Life is bad. Gloom and misery everywhere, stormy weather. I just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time. All the time. When she went away, blues walked in. And if she stays away, old rocking chair will get me. And all I do is pray that the Lord above will let me walk with someone once more. Can't go on. Everything I had is gone. Since my gal and I ain't together, keeps raining all the time.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is right, and we are just a little under 10 minutes away from the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. So that's a show that happens every day, Monday through Monday at 19:30 UTC. So if you want to hear something besides me talking, stay tuned. Or if you just want to talk about dudes, golf balls, golf ball jointed baby dolls, just any kind of thing, you know, there is always something to talk about. So the transmissions are spurious, so, you know, just tune in, check it out. All right, And of course, check out AnonRadio.net for the full schedule. We got lots of cool shows. We got, you know, Zeptar has a show, Harry Larry's got a show, Tobe's got his show, Froggy Me's got a show. There's lots of great DJs on Anon Radio. Today is Monday, so that means we got Harry Larry with the Mix Remix. And on Wednesday, we got DJ Zep for a couple hours. And then, so yeah, there's a Tuesday spot open, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all have people after the Dubious Goals Committee. So, oh, and don't forget, there's Shut Up You Freak that happens before the Dubious Goals Committee's on Sunday. I have not caught that show, but I will need to check it out. Anyway, I could talk all day about all the cool shows that are on the schedule. Just go to anonradio.net and you can check it out. All right, so let's jump through it. There's a bunch of new stories. I don't have time to get through all of them, so we're just going to power through it.
Is it time for tech news?
Tobe builds up the audience. Hell yeah, Harry Larry, 100%. Zeptar fresh. All right, fresh to death. Boom, check it out. All right, terrorist attack strike oil tanker at Saudi port in Jeddah. A fuel transport ship was attacked by an explosive-laden boat in Saudi Arabia on Monday. The Singapore-flagged oil tanker's owner confirmed it was struck by a blast in a fuel terminal in Jeddah during a terrorist assault. Sorry, I wanted to be sure you knew that had at least happened before we jump into the tech news. So, here we go. Something you may or may not have noticed, depending on how far up you are in Google's butt, or Google's in your butt, whatever, whichever way you want to go. Google services, including YouTube, Gmail, and Google Drive, were restored for most users on Monday following a global outage that affected thousands. Google's website that logs outages said the services that were affected for nearly an hour should be restored for most users. The company has some of the most widely used services in the world. YouTube records over 2 billion logged in users each month, with people watching over a billion hours of videos on its platform. "We're back up and running," the video platform said in a tweet. It had earlier tweeted that many users were having issues accessing YouTube. According to outage monitoring website Down Detector, more than 12,000 YouTube users were affected in various parts of the world, including the US, Britain, and India. Outages on select Google apps are not uncommon, but Monday's outage affected all its popular services, including Google Hangouts, Google Chats, and Google Meet, products that people have used extensively during the COVID-19 pandemic. So, see that? Of course, if you are a member of SDF, join up, become a member of Meta ARPA, and then you get access to Nextcloud, or just buy a Raspberry Pi or go to Nextcloud's website. Nextcloud is like pretty much a drop-in replacement for almost everything that Google forces on you. So like Google Drive, you can set up, you can do video chats there, you can do regular chat. SDF has a Jitsi instance. If you want, you can join up with the Free Software Foundation. They have a Jitsi instance. There's just lots of free software solutions and alternatives. There's TubeNix. If you want to share videos, you can share them on TubeNix, a federated video platform that's also available to members of SDF. So just in general, Google makes me crazy, but they are a free resource that a lot of people use and make use of. So anyway, they're free as in they don't cost you any money. But of course, they invade your privacy pretty hard. All right, so what else? What else could there be? Oh, well, here's something for you. Oh yeah, Pixel Fed, be bored. But check it out. Netanyahu has dropped Trump from his Twitter photo. What? This is hot, spicy news. I need a dramatic news sound for like epic fails. Epic fail. Rah, rah, rah. Dur, dur, dur.
DJ Marcus.
Israeli's prime minister has removed a photo of himself and U.S. President Donald Trump from his Twitter account in favor of a Hanukkah-themed image. Previously, Netanyahu's Twitter profile banner picture featured him sitting next to Mr. Trump during a meeting at the White House. The image underscored the importance of Israel's relationship with the U.S., as well as Netanyahu's cozy relationship with the outgoing American president. So, very, very interesting. Very cool. And, oh, and the BBC had a story about the outage also, but they had the outage image, and it's great because it pictures a monkey, a cartoon monkey, who's purple, And he's holding a hammer and wearing a red baseball cap. And it's pretty adorable. You can check it out at thebbc.com. So, let's talk about labor news for the next 5 minutes. Then it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Check it out. And this isn't even coming from a super right or super labor-friendly site. So, brace yourselves. This might get anti-labor. This is from Reuters. UAW agrees to independent oversight to resolve U.S. corruption inquiry. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Detroit said Monday the United Auto Workers, UAW, union has agreed to independent oversight to resolve a 5-year federal corruption investigation that ensnared 2 former UAW presidents. U.S. Attorney Matthew Schneider said the UAW would pay $1.5 million to settle tax issues, make significant reforms, and be overseen by an independent monitor for 6 years. Schneider said the civil settlement caps the investigation into the union, but said inquiries could continue against individuals. The union has had a problem with fraud, embezzlement, and corruption, Schneider told a press conference. He added that the UAW International President Rory Gamble, who was present, was not the target of the investigation. And then, of course, the file photo is Rory Gamble, who is not a target of the investigation. So, very wild times, I guess, there. What are you going to do? I mean, that wasn't our intention. We just took a picture of whoever we knew. Anyway, UAW represents about 400,000 U.S. workers, including workers at Detroit's Big Three automakers and in other fields. At its peak in 1979, the union had a membership of 1.5 million people. So, a little under a third of the size now. Anyway, so there's that. It's very interesting. I like to say interesting today. I don't know why. I'm a little wild. I think I may be going into the other side of depression, into the mania side of depression. So we'll see. Stay tuned. If I start acting way too wacky, you'll know what's happening. Zeptar is fresh, fresh, fresh. Oh yeah, X1 is brew, brew, brewed. All right. So other news, we're running out of time, but Cleveland Indians baseball team is to change its name, just like the Washington team. The Cleveland Indians baseball team plan to change their name after decades of criticism. U.S. President Donald Trump denounced the move, tweeting it was cancel culture at work. In use since 1915, opponents have long said the name is racist and offensive. The team announced a review of their name in July as racial justice protests convulsed the U.S. following the death of George Floyd. Reports the Cleveland Indians would change their name came late on Sunday evening. The New York Times quoted people familiar with the decision who said the formal announcement could happen as soon as this week. It's unclear when they will switch their name or what will replace it, although one of the people told the newspaper it could happen as soon as 2022. President Trump criticized the projected move, retweeting a report about the name switch. He said it was not good news, even for Indians, in quotes. So we'll see what happens. Washington Redskins, the Washington NFL team, famously changed its name or said, okay, we're not going to be the Washington Redskins anymore. But this whole season, they haven't come up with a new name. So they've just been the Washington team. Very, very something crazy, you know? Anyway, there are tons more stories, but we're kind of out of time, you know? That's what happens on the show. We run out of time, and then I keep talking until the music plays. But there was a gunman that was shot by police in New York City after a concert. J.P. Morgan Chase wrongly charged 170,000 customers overdraft fees, but nobody's going to make them do anything about it. And Monsanto is forcing farmers to buy and use toxic weed killer.
Well, that sound means that all sorts of our time's come to an end.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.